Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey guys, this is Juan Harris here. I'd like to take a second to introduce our newest friends from SeatGeek. Let them take the confusion out of your ticket buying experience. Instead of shopping dozens of sites to find the best deal, let SeatGeek do the work for you. Their app scans the web for the best deals to your favorite game, concert, or show, and rates them on a scale from 0 to 10 to let you know if you're getting the best bang for your buck. A green dot makes great deals, yellow dot good deals, and red dot not so good deals. Use our promo code ACAA to check out to receive $20 off your first purchase. That's 2 free beers at the stadium on them. What are you waiting for? That's promo code ACAA for $20 off your first purchase. SeatGeek, life's an event, we have the tickets. Hey guys, it's Watt Harris here with another Panther Rants podcast. Happy Monday to you guys after Easter. I'm off today, and my family was here for 4 days from Thursday on. And it was pretty fun, you know, I mean, kids had their birthdays all this past week. You know, my oldest had his one on Wednesday. And then, you know, they came down the next day. And so, you know, Thursday, obviously, when your family is traveling, it's going to be a chilled kind of day, which it was. And then Friday, we take them out running around. And Saturday, we did like a crocodile adventure like we did last time with a petting zoo. And Sunday, Easter, we went to another petting zoo. And, you know, it was fun. I mean, kids love that stuff. I mean, they get to pet the animals. What's cool about this petting zoo we're at, this is a really big playground. So kids got to run around. It wasn't just looking at animals. There's train rides, plenty of other stuff to do. And of course, you know, you have your Sunday dinner, which, you know, for us, you know, they let my oldest kid pick, so he picks Olive Garden. And, you know, I'm not too crazy about Olive Garden, but I will say that their salad, I don't know what the hell it is with their salad, it's just freaking good. I mean, because we used to get Carrabba's my parents used to come down every Sunday, we'd get Carrabba's. Crabba's food isn't bad, but their salad is like bland. There's like no flavor, no nothing. Even the dressing is bland. All it is just like lettuce, tomato, and dressing. Whereas Olive Garden, you're getting some onion, you're getting some peppers, olives if you like that. And you get actually more dressing than you do with Carrabba's. It's like, you know, it's like for some reason the salad Carrabba's is just that you get for, especially for takeout, is just dry. You know, as much as we get to a snobby, you know, type of thing towards Olive Garden, kids love it. So, at least my kids do. So, a lot of times it works out. I will say that the worst experience we had eating wise this weekend was Applebee's, and my family, you know, given that you're down in Houston where you got like barbecue, Mexican food, all kind of different cuisines, different places you can try food-wise. My family, obviously being old school, they go with, they like Denny's or Applebee's. Although we did do a burger joint this time. We did Bex Prime where you have to order, you know, and they wait for, you know, for you to call your name. My parents loved it. They love to sit up. They love to be at places where they're able to sit down, and you know, the waitress takes their order and things like that. Whereas, like, especially when you try on shoes and stuff like that, obviously the salesperson's helping you with the shoes and things. A lot of shoe stores you go to, you don't get that. They just hand you the shoes and you just freaking put them on. And they expect you to, you know, to determine if they fit or not. But Applebee's, it just was a disappointment. For one thing, the service there always sucks. It's not so much the millennials are killing Applebee's, it's not. It's because, one, the service blows. And two, the food just isn't good. I mean, my son and I, you know, my son loves macaroni and cheese. And we ordered the four cheese macaroni that they had that's sprinkled with bacon. So that's what captivated our attention was that. When we got our plate, it was basically some pieces of penne with cheese sauce and a little bit of shredded sprinkled on them and some bacon. I mean, it was absolutely garbage. The food itself just wasn't worth it. It just, you know, when you go to restaurants like this, your food has to be the bang for your buck. I think with Applebee's, they're more of a type of, I would say, burger, maybe sometimes ribs type of place, but you can go freaking anywhere and get burgers or ribs. I mean, than Applebee's. Oh, well. Anyways, guys. Obviously, there's been some, in the realm of Pitt Athletics, there's been some changes in the staff. And actually, there was another staff change. Alan Saunders of PGA Sports Now, and this is his article he put out not too long ago. Paris Johnson Sr. has resigned, according to a report from Football Scoop. He was a Pitt for just barely a year. He worked with Narduzzi previously. And so another thing of staff turnovers with Narduzzi. I mean, I think he's gone through more staff members than anything else. What's crazy about this time around, it's not so much coaches. Well, I mean, he did have to replace Sean Watson for one thing. But he lost the director of football operations, director of recruiting, creative media director, the sports dietitian, the grad assistants, quality control coaches. I mean, Pitt's replaced a lot of those positions, but still, I mean, it's just, I think he's had more turnover than Donald Trump has with his presidency. But yeah, that's pretty much really only significant thing. Yeah, you know, I looked at Pitt, you know, baseball and softball this year, and baseball's not doing too good near a softball this time around. Of course, softball lost their coaches from previous year. We got the NFL draft coming up. That's on Thursday, and I looked over that as well. Well, I think it's Wednesday. It's either Thursday or Wednesday, one of the two. Yeah, it's this Thursday. Now, what's crazy about this is, I tweeted out an article about Rafael Raja Lopez. And basically, they have him projected now as a late-round pick, possibly a free agent. And if you go on the, like the NFL.com and things like that, where they do all the draft profiles, there's only one player that they have from Pitt that's profiled, and that's Quadri Olison. And he's projected to go either later or undrafted free agent. There's nothing really on Darren Hall, Dwayne Hendricks. There's nothing. So, I mean, as far as the, if you're expecting Pitt players to get drafted, it's hard to say. I mean, I'm sure there's so many players coming out of college that they can't profile everybody. But it kind of shocks me that there's not enough Pitt players to, you know, they were profiled. So as far as the draft goes, I wouldn't have too high expectations of Pitt players getting drafted. But then again, the guys who do the who do a lot of scouting, they could be wrong at times. They're not perfect. I mean, hell, Gil Brandt has a Duke player supposedly. He's liking him to Peyton Manning for whatever reason, and I've watched him play. Obviously, he has a lot of potential, but I just don't see Peyton Manning in him. I mean, Brandt also said that Tom Savage was going to be like Troy Aikman, and he had him as a top 40 pick. And of course, we all, as being Pitt fans like myself, I jumped on that. And of course, Tom Savage did finally get his chance, and well, he barely lasted a game. Actually, I think he was pulled at halftime, I think, for Deshaun Watson. I don't know what happened with Tom Savage, to be honest with you. I mean, he always, up until his injuries, he would always light up in preseason. And, before he was named a starter, he got the starting job, and he seemed to do well. At times, it seemed like they had a hard time getting the end zone with him. I don't think he threw any touchdown passes when he played. He put up some numbers, though, but I think he got hurt. And I think it hurt in the playoffs and just never came back. But the thing with Tom Savage was, when he started that game, he looked like the same player that he was when he first got in the league. It looked like he was just playing his first game. It just seemed like he didn't really progress as we thought he would. I mean, for one thing, the Texans gave him all the tools, all the work to do it. It just didn't pan out. And given how bad that offensive line was, they were going to need somebody. If you watch Deshaun Watson and Tom Savage, it was night and day. You knew Deshaun Watson was going to be the future when he stepped on the field. I mean, preseason, I remember, before that season began, I saw Watson come on the field, and it seemed like he was already ready to play. I mean, he just came in there with a lot of confidence, and they were putting up points with him, and he was looking really good, and he got hurt, and that was that. But he came back this year. They went to the playoffs. They won 11 games out of nowhere. But, things fell apart towards the end. Now let's get to some more stuff here. Alexander Ovechkin, obviously, last week got into a hockey fight with a 19-year-old rookie. And the national media jumped on this. Some people did in the national media over the fight with their hot takes about how Ovi would be in jail if he did this kind of thing. And, of course, Clay Travis jumped on it as well. And he called it a bad look for the NHL. I don't know. I think what this type of thing was, these guys were not debating which one of them challenged each other to fight. And the thing about hockey is there's always been fights. And the thing is, the thing that irks me about the national media is they don't really pay attention to hockey a whole lot. They seem to only pay attention to it when this stuff happens. They don't pay attention to what the star players are doing. It's just if a nasty fight or something like this, or nasty hit, then people want to come in, they want to change things. I mean, hockey's been the way it was, and pretty much they police themselves. And just leave it alone. sweeping changes don't need to be made in hockey. One thing he did do was open the game up a little more, which is what needed to happen. But I think the NHL product has been good as it's ever been. It's gotten a lot better. I mean, for me, when I watched it growing up as a kid, I think the peak years were probably the early to mid-90s. Especially the 92-93 season was like a really awesome season because there were a bunch of 100-goal scorers. Not 100-point scorers. And just a lot of people were scoring. And there was a lot of fun teams. I mean, one night you'd flip it on, you'd have the Canucks and the Sabres. You'd see Alexander Mogilny going up against Pavel Bure. I mean, and of course, also on that team, you had like, on Mogilny's team, you had Pat LaFontaine, you had Dale Hawerchuk. And of course, you know, Maple Leafs, you had Doug Gilmore, Borshesky. I mean, there was just so many good teams. Of course, the Penguins, Lemieux, Yager. And, of course, you know, Rangers. I mean, it was a smorgasbord of really good teams, good players. I mean, there was plenty to choose from. Yeah, you had that. And then, of course, towards the mid-90s, you had the Legion of Doom, you know, with the Flyers. And of course, you had the Colorado Avalanche. I mean, basically what happened there was Philly traded for Eric Lindros and pretty much gave some really good prospects to them. And that Avalanche team was loaded with good players. But as things creep to like the late 90s, early 2000s, when things started to really slide, and obstruction was one thing. You know, you had the dead puck era, but I think it was more that a lot of the best players that we grew up watching were aging. And, you know, we really didn't have that next generation of guys that could eclipse that. It was like we had a whole group of these. It's like maybe they made an impact, but they really didn't capture the attention of, I guess, the common fan like they did, like the previous group did. But, the product now is getting a lot better. I think, and plus, you know, they did have the strike as well. Things just, you know, and things really slid for the NHL. I mean, ratings dipped. And, of course, ESPN, who covered them for so long and carried their games, decides they don't want to carry them no more. So the NHL really didn't have any way to really show their games. I mean, they have, they have Root, and they have, I'm sure, CBS, you know, Sports carries some games. But it just wasn't what it was. It just, you don't see it as much anymore. But anyways, as far as the fight between these two players, really, it's between them and nothing else. I mean, it's come and gone. But I just think for people to get all revved up about it, it's ridiculous. Now, we got the NBA playoffs. You know, obviously, we got the first round still going on. Boston swept Indiana, which shocked the hell out of me, because I thought Indiana would give them more of a fight. I know that Indiana lost Oladipo for the season, but they were still a pretty competitive team without him. But Kyrie, you know, he turned it up a notch, and he's got them in the second round already. And they're going to face the winner of Milwaukee Detroit, and it's looking like it's going to be Milwaukee. You know, Blake came back, but still, Detroit just doesn't have it. And, you know, Milwaukee obviously passes their first test, but now their big test is going to be playing against Boston if they can get past them. It's just the playoffs, no matter what league you're in, it's a different type of speed, different type of game than regular season. Looking down the list here on the East, Philadelphia's beating Brooklyn 3-1. Initially I thought this game wasn't this series may go seven, but Philadelphia's recovered pretty good. Losing game one was kind of a wake-up call for them, and they've picked it up since. Toronto and Orlando, it looks like the Raptors are going to close out that series. If you guys remember, in game one, Orlando won on the last second three-pointer, and of course, Kyle Lowry had a chance to tie it, and he was a subject of memes and whatnot, GIFs, memes, everything on social media. And what happened was, I didn't want to get too excited about it because it was just game one. But Toronto recovered and has won the next three. And that's game one's a distant memory. So we're looking at a Philly-Toronto series. And that should be pretty exciting. Look at the West. I said in the last podcast, Denver and San Antonio could go seven games. And it's looking like it so far. Series is tied 2-2 right now. I don't know. It's hard to say how this final three games comes out. I think it's going to become more of a chess match. It kind of reminds me of how San Antonio and Miami was in that first championship series they played. It was a chess match between Pop and Spoelstra. But by game seven, both guys ran out of moves and they had to let their talent determine who was going to win that series. Pop had the series won, but for some reason Ray Allen got the game in overtime, and that was it. Once the Heat put into game seven, that was it. They were out. Both guys were at chess moves. In the end, talent determined that, and it was the Heat. So I think, in this case here, I think Denver will eventually, unless Denver has a complete meltdown, they should probably win. I think they'll win this series, but it's going to be either it's looking like six or seven games now. Six at the minimum, seven at the max. But they need to wake up because they need to realize this is the playoffs, and they're going to run out of games here pretty soon. Portland and OKC. Portland took a 3-game series one lead last night over OKC. It was close at the half, kind of, but then Dame and company just poured it on. It was funny because OKC won game three, and of course people were starting to hype Russell Westbrook after that game. And, oh, it's a Dame and Westbrook series. They end up losing the next game. And I'm kind of disappointed in OKC because I felt they could make a deeper run in this with the talent they have. I mean, with Westbrook, Paul, and Steve Adams, I just felt they could have, at least got in the first round, but doesn't look like it now. And as we look at the rest of the Western Conference, Golden State's obviously going to close their series against the Clippers. I think once Pat Beverly got them revved up and pissed off, they decided just to beat the crap out of them, and that was that. Houston, Utah. Houston's on the verge of sweeping the Jazz. Jazz don't really have a bad team. It's just they just had the unfortunate part of being matched up with the Rockets. The Rockets are obviously going to be set to play Golden State for the umpteenth consecutive year. Well, no, they played them last year, but the year before they didn't play them, they ended up with the Spurs. But the year before that, when he went 41-41, they played Golden State in the first round and lost in five games. And then the year before that, I think they lost in five games. And I think they were a two seed at that point. Now, that was the team with Dwight Howard and James Harden. And then after that, things just fell apart for the Rockets. I mean, they still made the playoffs, but they parted with Dwight. And then they really turned it up, you know, the next year. But they came up short. And then obviously last year they bring in Chris Paul, and things are good for them up until Game 6 against the Warriors, where he got hurt late. And they just Game 5, I'm sorry. And they just couldn't close it out. And now they get to face Golden State again. And they've had some success against Golden State this year. I mean, there was a game early in the year where they played without James Harden. It was just Chris Paul and whoever, and they destroyed the Warriors. And it's because the reason why is they stuck to their game. They ain't tried out gun Golden State. They decided to go inside on them, and they obliterated them. And I think what the Rockets need to do when they face Golden State is, you know, Boogie's out. That element's gone. So it's practically the same team as you faced last year. You really don't need to outgun these guys. And who could shoot more three-pointers? You got to go inside and get the twos, get the lay-ins. I think, you know, Houston has a chance, but until they actually win, I can't say that they're going to win. But anyways, guys, I'm going to wrap it up here. I'm going to let you have the rest of your Monday. Hope you guys are recovering. Hell to pit. Bye. You know, ever since I started this podcast, people have been asking me for advice. Usually it's what team to bet on this week. The truth is, I don't know who's going to win. But if you think you know, you got to check out my bookie. Remember, who you're betting on is the point who you're betting with. That's why I tell people to bet with my bookie. Trust me, guys, they're your best bet this season. Enter promo code PANTHER25 to activate your offer. And you can claim up to $1,000 in free play. You play, you win, you get paid. Go to MyBookie today, that's MyBookie, and don't forget to use the promo code PANTHER25.